Hi everyone, thanks for listening again. And today I have the pleasure of sitting down with a wonderful man that I met through North Coast Church and the kids ministry. I saw his interaction with kids. I saw just amazing things, this connection with God, his testimony. I was a witness to hearing his testimony and how long God has been brought him in into his arms and how he is looking forward to bringing more people into his arms because we're just guides. So why don't you tell us your name?
My name's Art, last name Pasimio.
Thank you so much. And again, thank you for accepting this invitation.
Oh, thank you for asking.
We discussed a little bit about the name, where that came from, and I know you heard it, so we're not going to touch much on that because I think I do it on every episode, but it is an amazing name that God inspired me to do through the Holy Spirit. And through that, I want to discuss verses, and one of the ones that he gave me is Philippians 2:12. Mm-hmm. So before we begin, I just want to read that over to you. I want to know what you get from it, what you're understanding. I just want to impart, you know, others with different perspectives. So Philippians 2:12 reads, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." As we hear that verse, Art, what are your thoughts?
Let's see. I kind of broke that up into, looking at it into a few parts. And one of the things that I learned a lot, or it's emphasized quite a bit at North Coast, is the word obedience and obey. And Paul starts off by saying, "As you've always obeyed." And my walk, unfortunately, I can honestly say I have not always obeyed, but that is definitely an intricate part of being a Christian and a Christ follower. But the whole working out your salvation, I know that does not mean that it has nothing to do with me getting saved, but it is an after salvation, after becoming part of the family of God, what that is. And I read from I love C.H. Spurgeon's little take on this. He said that so at the point of salvation, God actually works into us. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and now it's part of our salvation, and our walk with the Lord is whatever was worked into us by the Lord through the Holy Spirit, he is now going to work it out of us. And working with the kids, I asked the Lord to help me to explain to the kids, because a lot of the Bible is it's hard to understand. That's why we have all the Bible teachers that I've listened to over the years. We need them to help them explain, and I like to explain it to the kids. And one of the things that I like to use are object lessons, because it's visual, it clicks, and actually it's helped me in my walk. And so thinking about this, the picture that came to mind, my wife, years and years and years ago, she used to decorate cakes. And one of the tools that she used in the actual decorating the cake, once the cake was made and the icing was put in and all that, is this bag. I don't even know what it's called, but she stuffs it. She puts the stuff in there, and then she puts a tip on it, and then she starts to squeeze. And depending on the tip that's on there, and she squeezes, she can make borders, real nice borders. She can do swirls. She made little flowers, she made big flowers. She'd get a different bag, put a different color, but she was basically working out what was already in the bag. And as I was meditating on this, that to me that's what it is that working, the work out of my salvation is what God has already worked in to my life at the point of salvation. Another verse that kind of joined in with that was the fact that it's one of my wife's favorite verses regarding the potter and the clay, that we are in his hands. And I saw this, that my bag that is already filled with what he worked in, are in his hands. And the obedience part is the daily tell the Lord, "All right, Lord, squeeze. I'm not going to resist. If you want to put a tip today that's going to make straight lines, so be it. If you want to put a tip that's going to make a pedal, do it. If you're going to squeeze hard, do it. If it's going to be a gentle squeeze, a long, you know, for a long thing, my hope is that I'm hoping that I don't resist and cover the opening. So that to me was the working out part. What he has worked in, my obedience will be to allow him to work it out. The fear and trembling part was a little bit different, because I know that the whole fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I agree with that, and my take on that is it's not even just a reverent, how they say it's reverent. I know Pastor Chris has used the example of electricity. Well, I'm an electrician, not only an electrician, I've worked in power plants where I have gone into the distribution yards that have that distribute out 500,000 volts, and I've walked in there and I've heard, I hear it, it's buzzing, and you can, you know, you can feel it, and so he said that's what the fear of the Lord is, because he is so powerful. But for some reason in this particular fear and trembling, it didn't just seem like it wasn't touching my heart in that way. It was more, what in my life have I been, what's the word, kind of, you know, where your heart starts pumping, your gut starts churning, and why would it do that? And I came to the point that, you know, again pictures, is that when I was in high school, I went down to Lake Havasu, and my buddy, we drove on, got in a boat, and he drove me to this one cove, and he showed me this 50-foot cliff, and he goes, you know, it's like there's a natural land point up there, and you can jump. And I want you to know, when as I was going up there, there was fear and trembling, but I wanted the prize. I wanted to get that feeling. So I did. I passed through the fear and trembling, got to the ledge, and I jumped, and it was awesome. When I first met my wife, the first time I wanted to call her to go on the first date, there was fear and trembling there. But I wanted to know her. I wanted to go out with her. So I was willing. I did it, and I got my wife. I mean, I was in the martial arts, and there were promotion tests, and I had to I had to work out to get ready. But then when test time came, you know, I knew the test was a week away. I was scared. There was fear and trembling. I did tournaments. There was fear and trembling. But because of what I knew was, in essence, the prize. And Paul talks about, you know, pressing on for the prize, for the wreath. It's worth going through, not to add other verbiage into scripture. I'm not doing that. As I was reading this, it came to me that what started working my heart is that I would work out my salvation even with fear and trembling. Knowing what the Lord has in store, knowing the prize that He has for me, the enjoyment, the blessings. Actually, if I could, just yesterday. So Coast Kids is the ministry is reaching out to the families, to just, you know, making calls, just to touch bases with them. How they're doing, can we support you, the spiritual growth of your child, can we pray for you? And I've never been a phone caller. I just have not been a phone caller. Even when I was dating, all I would do is call my wife and say, hey, where do you want to meet? Sounds good.
I'll be there.
Gone. Anyway, so there's a little bit of, you know, smaller fear of trembling, but yesterday I'm making the calls, and I got a hold of this one mom, and my goodness, she was sharing her heart, and with her child has some medical challenges, and even though my heart was breaking, because my heart's for the kids, at the end of the call, after the prayer, after I hung up, I took a really, really deep breath and said, wow, if I had not said, and if I had not gone and worked through my own fear and trembling, I would not have had that privilege of being able to hopefully be a blessing to that mom at that point.
And I think you were. So don't feel like you weren't. And that's the reason why I chose this verse. Because there's so much meat on his bones. I was raised, and I just recently came to this realization that God created me to look between the letters.
Mm-hmm.
And between the lines and the spaces between each letter.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about your, and thank you for sharing such an important part of your life, because fear and trembling in a secular world means, in definitions, are from the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So when we take that biblically, it is not about giving up. It is actually about being stronger in the Lord. As you were talking and being here for others, that is the part that he wants us to work out. Our mm-hmm. salvation is granted to us by mm-hmm. a gift. Nothing that we can do.
Yes.
No works that we can do. I mean, we can give up everything we have and give it to the poor. It wouldn't make a difference if we don't do it for him.
Yes.
But our salvation, you know, and that's why I brought this verse, because when I first read it in the beginning stages of my faith, I was confused. I'm like, so it means I got to go out there and do the work? No, it means when I call you son, do it. Don't hesitate. Be afraid. Be fearful. And shake. Tremble when you don't listen.
Ooh, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So that is the part of obedience. Mm-hmm. And I think you were obedient, and I am beginning to do as well when God says, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you, what I love is that an analogy of the cake. I love it. I'm going to steal it. I'm going to use it. You can't trademark it. It's free market.
That's fine.
But think about it. You know, as we're, people say we're part of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
But they don't realize that also we're part of the emotions of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So when one part of the body is hurting, we all must hurt, and we should hurt. Because as you're telling me, I see your eyes, you know, watering, and it's okay. But it's an amazing emotion, because we're told as men not to cry. And now I'm a big crier. You know, since Christ came in my life, I'm like, I'm gonna cry. But thank you, because I am feeling those emotions. But the only reason I can feel those emotions truthfully is because I'm connected to the vine. So when someone is joyful, even though there were tears, there were tears of joy, because you were being obedient in his call. So I am rejoicing and being motivated to be more connected and be part of the body of Christ. And that's the part of fear and trembling, is that when we use, of course, secular out of this, you know, the biblical world, it means something different. When we bring it into a biblical mode, we can realize this is not a bad thing. It's like being afraid of your dad. If you did something wrong, you're going to hide. You're going to be shaking, because dad's going to find out, and there'll be some whooping. And when, at least in my case, you know. But, you know, well, thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you for sharing that. I know this right here, if one person gets that and they want to be part of that, because it's true, we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we're just waiting. And and sometimes, let's say it's a whole cake and there was only one flower, that's all it needed. You don't need to do more. So
that's good.
Thank you. So now I want the listeners to get to know Art a little bit, and I want to get to know you a little bit more. You shared a little bit. Tell me briefly something about you, if you're married, if you have kids. And what church do you attend to? And it might be online, but if you're attending other churches, I will welcome for you to say what churches and what pastors you're listening to, just so other listeners realize, oh, I didn't know that we're online, or I didn't know about that pastor.
I like doing it. It's something that I kind of hid a little bit, but now I'm it's a novelty, okay? Because my full name, okay? I know I go by Art, or Mr. Art, to the kids. But my christened name for my parents is John Arthur Maria Bernabe Pasimio. I know.
It's a good name.
It's a good
rocket.
and then I thought, wow, because when in my license, I actually have to have two lines, because they can't fill it in. And then when my I have two kids, me and my wife have two kids, and from my oldest son, we have three grandkids, and the youngest one was just born this last April 30th.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And they named him Thomas John Ticken Macarius Maria Pasimio. I thought, that's even longer than my name. So it's a beautiful name, but I'm thinking, boy, when he gets his license, he'll have at least two
he's
lines.
Gonna need
Although
two.
He's gonna need two lines for sure. So anyway, all right. So married. I met my wife back in 1980, November 14, 1980. At a retreat for Catholic singles. And again, it was not a retreat for Catholic singles to meet other Catholic singles, But the idea back then was that if you were in the Catholic Church, that you either became a priest, became a nun. If you're male, became a priest. Nun became a female, became a nun. Or you got married and you had lots of kids. And so, but then the question was asked: well, what if does God have a plan for a single person if you're in the Catholic Church? And that's where this retreat was born. So I had two older brothers. My mom sent the oldest one, then the next oldest one. Then it was my turn. I went to this retreat, and it was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And me and my wife, we were the two youngest at 21. And they broke up I think there were like maybe 50, 55 attendees. They broke it up into small groups. We ended up in the small group. So we got to talk, learn about each other that way. And then the weekend, you know, we hung out, we talked some more, and then the weekend ended. And again, like I was saying, then back then there was no cell phones, no texting, no nothing. It was good old fashioned phone, called her. And then somebody asked me this before, how long was it before you knew? I said after about 3 months, I was in love. 6 months, I proposed. And 1 year to the date, we got married. So we met November 14, 1980, November 14, 1981. We were married. And then, so now this year it'll be 39 years. That blows me away. I'm going to be married 39 years. From that, we had the two kids, Michael and Jeremy, and our married life walk took us from California to Arizona to Oregon, and then us back to California. But when we did the Oregon stop for 11 years, our boys met their girls. And they decided, so my oldest one went to Christian College in Portland, met his girl there, and they got married, and they're actually living now east of Portland in a town called Fairview. And they have the three sons. They have Reuben, he's 7, then they have Oren, he's 4, and then they have Thomas John, and he's 4 months.
I thought you were a lot younger. Just throwing that out there. I didn't know you were a grandpa. There's nothing wrong with being a grandfather.
My wife and I got married when we were 12. No.
Sweet.
Well, for the record, we were 22.
We're 22.
Okay, we were 12.
It was a joke. We'll erase this from the recording.
church, we actually, I'm going to say for the last 6 years, we've been dual church attenders. We do a lot of fellowshipping and a lot of ministry at North Coast. We help with the life groups and all that. But because of the way the Lord, and maybe I'll touch in a little bit on that, because of the way the Lord worked in our life, specifically with my wife, it was a rest to her soul as well that we actually started going to Calvary Chapel Oceanside to, in a sense, to be anonymous. I know that.
No, I get what you're saying.
But it was to be able to go to, and her heart was to sit in the back, listen, enjoy the worship, and I guess in a sense to bathe in the Word and just in the back. So about 6 years ago, that's when it started, that we started doing the two churches, and we continued because they're both awesome fellowships. So
yeah, you get fed somewhere, and then you feed somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I work at this church, but I'm also connected to other churches.
Yeah.
You know, like Riverview, I do men's ministries there.
Uh huh.
And that's where I get my cup full, and then I'm able to pour onto someone else and someone of the church.
I think it's awesome.
So far, it's not illegal. So.
Yeah, and I found that they're just so. Gosh, the church is. I love the church body. I love seeing all the different people, the different kids, hearing the different different pastors, different ministers, and how the Lord is working. And let's see. So, and my relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna touch. When did that begin?
That
briefly.
Briefly, I'll say from the get go, from my parents. In the Catholic faith, to teach me about the fact that there is a God, there is a Jesus, there is a Holy Spirit, but then in high school, around in late 70s, a fellow classmate of mine. He was the son of, I believe, a Presbyterian minister, and he started having Bible study in his house. And I went, and it's like, well, wow, what you're saying makes sense. And he gave an altar call, and I will say that that is where the relationship started. And a little funny thing there is that my dad found out that I was going to a non-Catholic gathering, and he forbade me to go. And so I thought, at that point I could drive. And so one of my first acts of obedience is I lied to my dad, because I would tell him, Dad, I'm going to the library, and I would go to the Bible study. So,
well, you were going to a library. You weren't really lying, right? We can call the Bible the library, the Bible. Right?
Okay, I never thought of it, but I always thought it was like, well, this is really ironic. I'm lying to go find the truth. Okay.
And is this a confession your dad knows now? We're not going to out you on this one?
I don't think I ever, my dad's gone on to heaven, but I don't think I ever told him that part.
He knows.
You know, now he knows.
Now Jesus he knows. Is telling him, hey, don't worry about this, son. He did it for a good cause. You were justified.
I was justified.
So, thank you so much for allowing, you know, listeners to get a little closer to you. Thank you for allowing me to get closer to you. Mm. So my hope is for listeners to grab onto things and say, I can use this in my life. Or I didn't ever really thought about doing that. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to replicate your life, my life, anybody mm-hmm. else's life. I just want them to get hope.
Yeah.
Because that's how I got my hope. I will listen to people and be like, that's smart. I can do that. But then I'll put my own flavor in it. And then God put his flavor in it. And then it was amazing.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your daily routine.
Okay.
You know, Art woke up in the morning before anything else has happened. What is the first thing you do?
All right. I have to say that, again, I've been walking with the Lord then for, I will say, a good 40 plus years. And is it okay to say that I don't really have a daily routine?
No, it's okay.
I'm thinking that because when my relationship started with Jesus, I really liken that to my relationship when it started with my wife. From dating to turning to courting, to turning into getting married, and then having a marriage. And I will say that my marriage to my wife, I have never had a routine in my marriage with my wife. We've tried some over the years. You know, having date nights, things like having movie nights. But I'll have you know, I mean, I love my wife more so now than ever. We've had our ups and downs. I've had daily life with her.
Yeah,
I can say that, but I don't think any of it has been routine.
Biblically, like when you make it a routine, then it makes it like a check mark. You know.
Yeah.
So what I'm referring to is,
yeah,
well, I want the listeners to know how do you surrender your day in the beginning. You know, see if there's something you do while it is either reading scripture, you know, talking to your wife, like you know, giving her a kiss, things like that. So don't feel like you're obligated to say, this is what I do at 8 a.m. then 9
right,
a.m.
Right,
no, no,
right,
it's just
right.
and that's what I want. Yeah. You know, something that you usually do when you first wake up.
One of the things that I absolutely enjoy over the years, depending on, I love music. I'm so amazed with the way the Lord has worked in musicians over the years, from, you know, hearing a brand new superstar in the making back in the 80s named Amy Grant, you know, the Sandy Patty, and then just cruising down the line. And there have been times I am not, this is to me, and this, I feel like the Lord is touching me at this point, that there have been times that I wake up in the morning and it's that there's just a song. I ended my dream and there was singing in the dream, and then I wake up in the morning and that song is still there. And my goodness, that song and those words will just last, you know, into lunchtime at work, into the drive home at work. And I love it when that happens. But that comes as a result of listening to music. For the last 10 years working with the kids ministries at North Coast, Jana Lyra has been the music that we have shared with the kids. Jana's songs and the words that the Lord has put in her heart and the simple lyrics and the music to it, it is in such a way that it stays with you. And yes, people of North Coast Church that will be listening to this, I do have Jana Elira CDs, and yes, I still have a CD in my van. And I believe I have all of Jana Elira's CDs, and I listen to Jana Elira music in my car. But as a result of that, if there was anything that is part of my life, is listening, not exclusively, but listening to a lot of Christian-based music, because it blesses my soul. It uplifts me, it encourages me, it strengthens me. I know, Pablo, for you, it probably is this way. And a lot of listeners, for me anyway, a song from the 70s, secular song from the 70s, will come on and start to play. And lo and behold, I know every word. Not only do I know every word, I know when the guitar comes in, I know the beat of the drum, I know when the guy goes high, the girl goes low, and all of it. And as a result of music, Matthew 6 would seek first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And it's because it was put to song.
Yeah.
I know that.
Well, it is a beautiful way to wake up to music.
Oh my goodness. It is so good. And absolutely so good. I love it. It has actually been a really big contributor, I guess, to my growth, to my soul and my spirit's growth, along with the word.
And I agree. I think that, you know, God-inspired music definitely helps. When I came to Christianity, I was like, well, Lord, I really like hip-hop. No. Yeah, I love some music. And then he's like, wait a second, son. I got you covered. And he converts some Christian rappers. I'm like, hey, guess what? I also like reggae. And then, boom. I'm gonna merge two questions into one.
Sure.
And again, we're not asking, I'm not trying to ask you, hey, this is what you need to do, but is there a time in the day that you set apart to read scripture, whether it's to hear it, read it? Because if I don't have time to read it, or I think I don't have the time to read it, I'll jump on applications and I'll do the same. But I always try to find, at least throughout my day, just get some scripture.
Yeah.
I love gospel music. I love, Christian rap music, and anything that's Christian and it says after, I'll listen to it.
Yeah.
But do you have that time set up?
I will say for the most part, one, because my work schedule, I have to wake up at between 4 and 4:30 in the morning to leave for work, to get to work by 6. What I have found lately that's been working and set, I don't like to read. Okay, and I've said this for years that if it wasn't for movies, I wouldn't know that books existed.
Amen to that one.
Okay, but I have found out that I really, really I have always enjoyed reading out loud. So the reading part is reading quietly. So what me and my wife have been doing lately, and I have found it to be an absolute blessing and help with the growth, is that once I do get home, while my wife is preparing dinner, I'll sit on our kitchen counter and I'll say, hey, you mind if I read? And most times she goes, no, that sounds good. So from the scripture, I'll open up. So during that time, or once we're in bed for the night, one of the things we do, and also watching movies, is I'll pull out either the Bible or one of the books that we're reading concurrent, and I'll just say, hey, or great invention, with a laptop, pop it up. You can just, go on Google and type up something to read, and we will read. But it's reading out loud. I don't know if there are a lot. If people have practiced the reading of scripture out loud, it's different than reading it quietly.
I practice hearing it and reading it.
Yeah.
And that's been helping me. So it's not reading out loud, but it's also in essence. So I do agree that it's powerful.
I've tried to make it so that when we read like one of the letters of Paul, I will have the mentality of reading it that, wow, this is a letter from Uncle Paul. And I will try to read it straight through it as if I would read an email. I don't read the email and stop and pause and analyze a section. It's like I'll read the whole, like reading an email from start to finish. we'll sit down and we'll read and try to read it out loud with the you know, with different inflection, with different speed, with different tone, and to read it. This is Paul just wrote this to me. I have found that I start to know, you know, different things come out, and then after we read it, we'll go back to the spot, and then we'll discuss, do the what ifs, and you know, ooh, well, you know, I wonder what he was looking at, or wonder what he was feeling, and reading out loud straight through.
Your favorite verse, share with us.
Okay. Currently that has been in my heart is Galatians 6:9, and that's the verse where it says, do not grow weary in doing good. I feel like I am 61 years old listening, people.
And he does not look like it. We'll put a picture of you. You be the judge.
Okay. Through prior to this verse, and I feel like the Lord is speaking to me, because other verses in my life, as my walk with the Lord has gone from zero to 40 years, at one point the verse in my life was a verse of encouragement in Philippians 1:6, that he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. That was encouraging. And I'll say that verse came into my heart in my early walk. And then along in my early walk, a verse came in that was, it was from Mark chapter 10, that basically if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you're going to be the servant of all. So it dealt with the whole attitude of being a servant. During that time of being a servant, Psalm 46:10 about being still and knowing that he is God came into my life to help me during the time of servanthood. John 13 at one point in my walk with Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, and you've seen what I've done, go do likewise. And the Lord instilled in my heart basically that, you know what? What I'm telling you is that in the church and in life, there are chores to do. And I want you, and throughout my walk, it has been attitude of a servant. And the Lord, he didn't come down to be served, but to serve. Maybe serious, this ever since March and things kind of shifted and changed, working with the kindergartens and the first graders on a Sunday, I absolutely just, wow, this is such an awesome calling. The number of kids that were there, the lot, you know, the excitement, the hearing them worship, hearing them answer the questions, it was truly one of the biggest wow moments in my Christian walk. Cold turkey, it stops. And
it was hard for a lot of us. I really enjoy those moments, you know.
Yeah.
Being with kids and then giving them hope.
Yes.
And then
yeah,
it's so hard. You know, I was so happy to get up early in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, dust the chairs and have all these little souls come in.
Yeah.
And for that to be taken away, I wasn't mad at God. I know what's going on, but at the same time, I was like lifting my fist, like, come on,
let's and with that, and again, I'm not saying that it's really hard at this age, but physically, I'm, you know, the knees are hurting a little more. And actually, well, one of the first North Coast churches having Friday, I think like every other Friday, worship night, Facebook Live, Instagram Live, and the first time that I did it, you know, we're still trying to learn how it works. And the deal was is for me to pick 4 songs, and we were gonna go on at 7 o'clock, and you know, it was being played, and in between songs I would share a little bit about the song, and then we would go. But I think after the second song, I was winded. And not only was I winded, let's see, who was it? Gina, Melissa, and Brandy were there, and I think they could tell Art was winded, and like, oh my gosh. And then by the time I was done with the last song, I was glad to get off the camera and I was huffing and puffing and it really is. Not to doubt accomplishments, but back in my 20s, 30s, 40s, and even into my a little bit in my early 50s, I was working out in the martial arts. But since we moved to California, there's no studio that I'm working out in. But oh my, the breath, the stamina's gone, the knees are hurting, the shoulders are hurting. We're at work, it's just. Wow, is it serious? Is this what the fallen world does to a person's body?
It's California. No, I'm just playing. It's not California. I love California.
So, but in that, I just, and then along with maybe the mental thing, that verse of, I still want to press on. I want to press on. I want to, and. I just, it's like the Lord is telling me, Art, hang in there. Don't grow weary in doing good. And to me, that's saying, again, he wants to continue to squeeze more out of me. And I'm saying, okay, I'm game. But Lord, physically, please help me to be able to physically do it. And some of the stuff that's going on nowadays, Lord, please keep my emotions in check. I don't want all the stuff that's going on to make me emotionally weary. So I'm really hanging on to asking the Lord in prayer for his strength. I know in Nehemiah it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't want to become things to diminish my joy. I want to, and reading has... other giants fighters of yesteryear.
Yeah,
that has helped.
Cool, and that brings us to that question. That has helped, besides scripture.
Yeah.
What else are you consuming? music. I know we sort of know.
Yeah.
Kinda, you brought it in just a little bit that you're a Jana fan. Hopefully she listens and she sends you a couple CDs. We'll reach out to her.
Okay.
we'll try to interview her and give you a shout out. That would be awesome.
Jana would be good to interview.
We'll be praying. We're praying to the Lord to put her in her heart, and I'll reach out to her in an email, if it's possible, because we can do it also over the phone.
Oh, can you really?
Yeah. So we can set that up. But again, what else are you watching? Movies, music. What else? Are you feeding on?
Okay. I'll be honest. Movies for me is candy, and it's not for main food. So.
I'm raising my hand. That's
okay.
Yeah,
okay. I've told people that I graduated from TVU, and right now I'm getting my master's from YouTube U. So.
Great universities. Great. Tuition is amazing.
It's amazing. I know. Lately, three authors from a past generation that have been a blessing to me and my wife in studying what they have written have been F.B. Myers. I forget what F.B. stands for. I think it's Frederick Brotherton Meyer, and A.W. Pink. A.W. Tozer. I just like this one book that I have here. It's called Five Musts of the Christian Life by F.B. Meyer, and he actually puts other sermons in here. I don't know, it's just hearing the heart of men that were born in the late 1800s and lived through the early 1900s. I don't know if their focus was, or the life around them made them think differently, but to me, they're helping me just understand, my goodness, how powerful and how awesome, how gracious God is, and how much he wants, that he really, really just desires such a deep relationship with us. It also brings out maybe because there was, I don't know if there was a literal or a lot less political correctness in what they write, to me, it some of the things that they write really bring out that of the faults and the frailties that we have as humans with no, because I think that if something like this were to be published today, they would say, well, that wasn't very nice. But reading it with a, you know, understanding their heart and understanding the fact that they are revealing to me who I am and my need for a savior, my need for God, because of how great he is. I have to touch back on one of my favorite verses. It's kind of, I don't know if it's a weird verse, but it's Genesis 1:16. It's during the creation story, day four, where it says, and on the fourth day, God made the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And then in verse 16, it goes, oh, and he made the stars also. almost parenthetically, oh, yeah. He threw his hands behind his back and goes, yep, stars.
Like if it was like flour that you don't need anymore. Like,
yep. Like that's what he did. And then to come to find out that there are billions of galaxies with billions of stars in each of those galaxies, and it seemed like God just did, oh yeah, stars. And these men, you know, A.W. Pink, Tozer, Meyer, it to me, as I read them, and as I look into their heart, they'll expose my minuteness and my finiteness and just reveal how everlasting to everlasting God is. And these men from previous generation, to me, that they bring that out.
I want to recommend you George Mueller. I'm going to send it over to you. I have a book. Okay. I have actually a PDF, A Man of Faith and Miracles.
Okay.
He's from the 1800s.
Yeah, I've heard of George Mueller.
This man
is,
I'm not going to throw you anything because I want you to read it. Okay. It'll captivate you. It's a small book.
I would love it.
I don't get anything by recommending books. We don't get anything by recommending. We're just talking about it so people know that there's other things out there. So we're coming to the end of the day. You know, you've done a long day of work. Everything's settled at home. What is the last thing you do before you go to sleep?
And my wife and I in our relationship right now, and what we do, we actually don't have TV, and so I have a laptop, I have a little DVD player, and we love our time together, and we you know, we finish our dinner and all that, and then we. Summertime we love playing golf, but the last thing we're in bed, we've been liking reading, and then we watch a little bit of a movie, and then that's it.
Call it a night.
Yeah. Awesome.
So spending time with the bride. How important that is.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
How important. I everybody that I interview, that, you know, they always say, before I go to sleep, I just want to hear my wife. I want to make sure she's heard. So important. I forget to do that sometimes. Yeah. And I feel so horrible. So the next day I'm like, I'm going to try it. Yeah. I'm just going to be here and listen.
I love that last, you know, kiss on the lip, cheek, forehead, whatever. And that's.
Thank you for sharing that. We're getting to the last part of this podcast, and this is where the hard-hitting questions are. Not really. But, you know, Art, what's one area that you're working on and you're looking to surrender Jesus, and why? If you don't mind sharing.
No. I hate to admit it, but current things going on with the pandemic and with the opinions of the multiple opinions that are out there and that are easily seen and heard, I would really like to be able to, and I've been asking the Lord to put a check on the way I one is to put a check on the tongue, because it can get kind of not vile but cynical and sarcastic. Whether it be coworkers, they'll say something, and I would just love to just, you know, intermix it with my quip or with my wit to, not to, and it's definitely not to, you know, bring encouragement into the conversation or anything like that. It's just to basically interject a sarcastic point of disgust. And it's not good. Doesn't taste good. Doesn't feel good. And I'm just wanting, currently, Lord, I want you to just, you know, take that. And it's those things that I don't like it, but it seems to hang around. And also, again, going back to the not growing weary. It's almost like I'm fearful that it'll happen, and I don't want to be fearful. I want to be a Caleb, you know, be at 80 years old. It's like, yeehaw! there's more giants out there, and I want to go tackle them. I don't want to get weary. I don't want my failures to get me weary. I don't want my physicalness to get me weary. And it can, you know, it's
really easy.
It's just,
and we, you know, we'll definitely be helping you in prayers, and I hope the listeners, you know, help you in prayers with that. This question here, it's highly important for me. Community.
Okay.
Talking to others.
Okay.
And others talking to you. How important that is for you?
I think it's likewise important. Learning throughout the years that, and it's continually taught as well. In the different churches, that we know that the church is not the building. Currently, and I still prefer face to face, because there's just a different dynamic when it's 3D instead of 2D. And as far as being able to still work with community, I'm a little bit of challenge, you know, without disregarding any of the regulations and rules and recommendations from the governmental authorities, and still staying in there, where we still try to stay community. We contact the friends that we have, again, text or with phone, and saying, hey, if you guys are okay with it, you guys up for a walk? And if they say, yeah, that sounds good, then we'll meet for a walk. Hey, you know, if you guys are up for it, would you guys be, you know, if you're comfortable with it, you guys want to go meet islands or something, and fellowship there? And some people, and actually we've had where we will go, and depending on their comfort level, some have kept their mask on, some have kept their face shield on, and when the food comes, they come off, and then we eat, and then when we start to talk, but again, it's still being able to be with the culture that we have found ourselves to be in, but we still have the community. I've not had the for me reaching out for the kids, the calling that we've been doing, it's been mainly for the parents, though, to see how we can help. Zoom has helped to keep in community with the kids. And I like sending out postcards to some of the kids, just reaching out and saying, hey, I'm praying for you. And but I agree, community is that's us, that's the church. And
you know, we're not meant to be alone.
No.
This last question, we discussed it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Was it one thing you want to leave for the listeners behind?
Okay, one thing I'd like to leave for the listeners behind is from a song that I heard a long time ago, and it was from a play by, I think his name was Jimmy Owens. It was called The Witness. The premise of the play is the life of Christ, narrated and spoken through the eyes of Peter, and the words of the song that he sings after the Lord has risen, after he has denied the Lord has been crucified, the Lord rose, and now they're at the beach, and the Lord has that discussion with Peter about, do you love me, and feed my sheep. And The name of the song is I Love You, Lord. And I'll just read the words, and maybe Paul can kind of interject this song.
I looked it up on YouTube.
Yeah, it's I Love You, Lord. If you type in I Love You, Lord, and then Barry Maguire.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
But and that's where Jimmy and Carol Owens.
Jimmy and Carol Owens, that's the one, yeah. But I'll just let you guys hear.
And I'll put a link on the description of you know, of the podcast.
Okay.
And also on the YouTube channel. I'll put a link, you know. But is this a song?
That's a song.
Getting pretty good audio from my phone. That's good. When I think of how I failed you, I could cry. And when I hear you calling me, I want to run high. Yet you know I love you so. I love you.
Yeah, it's and then the encouragement that I would like to share is that we will find ourselves failing and failing, getting up, and the thing is to get up. And then one of the words is in the song is that he says, I want to leave the past behind and feel your smile again, and if you find it in your heart to let me start again, I want to be your witness. I want to be your witness to the end, and that is my prayer. And but there are times that when we, you know, we stumble, we fall, even though we meant to do things the right way, we mess up. And I would just like to let people know, man, just keep on getting up, take another step, get beat up, take another step.
Let's do it daily, right?
Daily, yeah.
One day at a time.
One day at a time.
Gotta mix straight lines with crooked
sticks. Oh,
man,
yeah.
We make some hell of a lines.
Absolutely.
Heck. Correction. Heck. But Art, this has been an amazing, amazing interview. One last thing that I would appreciate is if you close us out on prayer.
I would love to. Thank you. Father, this has been a time for you. Thank you for using us. Thank you for ordaining things. Thank you for being so powerful, being so everywhere, being all-knowing. And yet, even with you being that way, you still do consider us, and you still do come and want a relationship with us. For that, I'll never fully understand it, but Father, thank you for wanting that. I do thank you again for Pablo and the heart that he has to do this. I ask that you would continue to bless his efforts, bless his steps, bring the people that you want to speak to your people, that they would be encouraged and uplifted to proceed and to press on until you call us home. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So thanks so much for listening. I hope you gain as much as I did. I know you'll be fed. Art, thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank your wife for allowing this amazing time. I know this is time off from your family, and we appreciate that.